Second, principles and promises.
Thank you.
Sherry, take it away.
I'm Sherry, codependent, and I've been in CODA about 15 and a half years. I would just like to say that when I got to CODA, I was ready to kill myself, and I was just getting enough drugs to do it. And a friend of mine just asked me a question and said, have you ever thought of CODA? And I had not. So basically what happened, there were two traumatic events in my life. The first one, when I was 4 or 5, and my mom and dad divorced and dad left the house. And I believe that is the time when my codependency and my eating disorder started, from the best of my recollection. I don't know. They say memories can be distorted. So, but I was so traumatized and didn't even know it until I got into CODA and worked the steps several times. You know, if dad could leave, and I thought, you know, at 4 or 5, it was something I did wrong. Something was wrong with me, and he was leaving me. Years later, through step work, I realized he was leaving my mother. And I was able to realize, you know, I got to see him every other weekend and during the summer and such. But if he could leave, then maybe mom could leave, and then I would die. And so fear started. Maybe irrational, I don't know. But the way I coped with it as a 4 or 5 year old was to eat and watch TV. I disconnected from reality, could not handle it. And I've been doing a lot of writing on fear lately, sadness, because my dad is dying of cancer now. And Thursday, you know, I would always eat before I go see him. And I was talking with my sponsor, and it's like, oh, dad is leaving again. And so what I thought I had worked through is now coming up again, which is fine, kind of like peeling the layers of the onion. The second traumatic instance in my life was through my own irresponsibility, I became pregnant and chose to have an abortion. And, you know, I was advised not to tell the father. And it's like, well, of course I'm going to tell him, and he's going to support me through this. And that didn't happen. What he said is, if you kill this baby, I will kill you. And, you know, I didn't believe him. I mean, you know, but he tried. And I became so terrified, I was hysterical. And I was pulled over by the police. And, you know, I mean, I couldn't even cooperate and pull my driver's license out. But I'm still alive. I don't know where he is. To show you how insane my thinking is sometimes, the first time I worked the steps, I said, oh, well, I've got to go make amends to him. And the four women I was working the steps with said, are you kidding? And this would probably one time where would injure them or others, me being the other, it would be best if I didn't make contact with him. But I was prepared to. So, you know, Mark Twain said, inside every life is a drama, a tragedy, and a comedy. And I've had enough drama, and I've had enough tragedy, and I'm all about comedy now. But you know what? Life is life. So I didn't limit, you know, it says we used other addictions, and food wasn't enough, and alcohol and drugs and gambling and shopping and all those weren't enough. And I just used anything I could. Just before I got into CODA, my husband left, and I begged him to stay, even though it was a pretty lifeless, loveless marriage. And he left. Now, I had no friends. He was my everything. And we were together 20 years. We were married for 18. And I married my ideal of my husband. I didn't marry who he really was. I married who I thought I could make him to be. And, you know, when you fantasize, reality's always going to come up short. And I didn't like reality. So I stayed out of it as much as possible. And that was insane. And I thought, you know, well, okay, he's gone and I'm miserable, but at least I've still got it together at work. And I went to work one day and the head boss called me in and said, you know, you're fired from the team. And that was my bottom. I had no clue. And I started crying and saying why. And she said, your coworkers are uncomfortable with your behavior. Now, I had two options in my codependency. Absolutely, completely shut down emotionally, no emotions, or every now and then, all of my resentments and fears and unfelt feelings would come up and I would rage. And I was a very angry person and I didn't have a clue. You know, I was trying to get this girl at work to do her job and she wasn't doing it. So they didn't fire me from the organization. I'm still there. I've been there 18 years. And they said, you can interview for another position. And my God, that was, and I did choose to interview and I did get a position, thankfully. But now I have nothing to live for. I don't. And so I was suicidal and a friend said, have you ever thought of CODA? And with nowhere else to go and nothing else to do, I went to CODA. And the first meeting, I won't ever forget, I was in so much pain. They read the patterns and characteristics and I said, oh, okay, this is codependency that I have. I can fix this because I'm a fixer, a controller, a manipulator to make up for my feelings of inadequacy. And that's just more codependency. If I could have fixed it, I would have long before I got to where I was when I walked into CODA. And I didn't want to die. I wanted the pain, the suffering, the misery to end. And the only thought I had was, if I kill myself, it will end. So my first meeting, you know, there's rules in codependent families. And one of them is you do not talk about your secrets or your shame. You know, you look like you got it together all the time. If anybody says how you're doing, I'm doing fine. And these people were talking about my secrets. And again, you know, I felt I needed to tell them, you don't do this. But they read the crosstalk rule and said, you know, no advice giving, no nodding the head, no nothing. So I just kept my mouth shut. That was the first experience I had of loving someone. When I can listen and be present with what they're saying, and not give comment, just listen. I'm loving somebody. And see, I thought if you love someone, you tell them what to do, whether they're an adult or whatever. That's changed. So I noticed something. They were talking about the secrets without shame. In fact, without really any feelings around it. They were just saying, this was my secret. And I wanted that. And I heard, keep coming back. I was in so much pain. I went to a lot of meetings. Now I heard, work the steps, get a sponsor. And I didn't know about CODA literature. and I couldn't find a sponsor. All the women said, no, you keep asking, you know, but I couldn't find somebody. So a few months later, this lady said, you know, I want to work steps, but I can't find a sponsor. Anybody interested, see me after the meeting. And God put five women together, and we went to a bookstore and we got a book on the 12 steps, and it took us 2 years. And by God, that was way too slow. So I started another step study meeting, and, you know, I want it now. I want to not be codependent. And, today when I'm not in acceptance, my sponsor says something like, thank God for whatever character defect I've got or whatever. And I just look at her and it's like, oh, I see. I need to embrace this. She said, yes, it kept you alive, and I need to accept it. So, thankfully I'm able to listen. Even if it sounds bizarre, I can listen and ask higher power to, you know, help me be with this or whatever. So, worked the steps, but I was completely enmeshed with my mother. And, my mother, thankfully, honestly, identified herself as a codependent. And she said, you know, I'm fine with that. And I said, Mom, I've just got to stop all communication. And I'll let you know when I'm ready. And she honored that. Terribly hurtful, but that's what I needed to do. So I worked the steps and I got a sense of who I was. At the same time, I realized my mother is not my higher power. She was all my life. She told me what to do all my life. And when I worked the steps, I must have worked the steps at least 3 or 4 or 5 times before I was even willing to make amends to my mother. And then it was, you don't have to say this. You don't need to do this. I was $50,000 in debt to my mother because of my gambling addiction, and everything's fine. And, you know, after I discovered who I was, one, it hurt her. And, two, we didn't agree on a lot of things anymore. And she would tell me, you know, stop saying that. Cause I said, you know, can't we just agree to disagree? And you don't disagree with my mother or you're wrong. Well, I said to her one day, I was just sitting there. I said, oh, Mom, do you need to be needed in order to be in a relationship? And she said, absolutely. So, my mom gets cancer. I get the $50,000 paid off, which hurt her because now I don't need her. And she equates that with love. And she dies and I'm clean and I grieve, but I don't suffer. And now my father is dying and things are coming up and, you know, it is what it is. So, I went to a lot of meetings in the beginning because in the meeting I felt safe and less pain and I belonged. And then I go get in my car and it's like, oh, life is back and it sucks. But I kept going. And in the Coda Blue Book, you know, eventually I got one of these and there's questions and I would answer the questions. And then there's a question about how do you feel about the questions? And of course, my response is I was angry about everything. Just angry. Maybe that's how I covered my fear. I can tell you today that I have worked through every single resentment I have for individuals. And then a couple years ago, I got in another group of women and I started working the steps again. And I realized I had resentments against groups of people like car salesmen, bullies. What was another one? Those Christians that say you're going to hell unless you become a Christian. And so, well, okay, this is another opportunity to do some more growing, some more finding out who I am and letting go, because resentments interfere with my serenity, joy, and peace. And I'm uncomfortable. So I have a solution. The steps. So in, you know, you go to meetings and it's like, okay, well, what the hell is codependence? And they don't define it. You know, in the CODA Blue Book, it says it's a disease that deteriorates our souls. Well, I can't get the disease part, so I just changed it and said it's a condition or a lifestyle in the preamble or whatever. They talk about a self-defeating lifestyle. And so I got that. And then, like right away in the third step, ooh, the God work. Yeah, I'm pissed. I'm pissed with God. I don't want to hear about God. And it says God as you understand God. And what I have found in this program is many, many people, many of us codependents have been wounded by somebody else's concept of God. You know, I didn't grow up going to church a lot, but my grandmother was Christian and you're going to go to hell and all this. God was always up there judging me. And it's like, okay, CODA gave me permission to, you know, just let go of that, God. That's not working for me. And I created my own God on a piece of paper. And I realized that is exactly what I wanted my husband to be. And he wasn't. So I had made my husband my higher power. Through working the steps over and over, you know, my dad is no longer my higher power. My ex-husband isn't. And every single human being on the face of the earth, I am equal with. I don't judge anymore. There's no, you know, when I judge, I'm either up here or I'm down here. I'm better than you or I'm less than you. I'm not equal. So today, I'm equal. I'm not special. I'm not, you know, the scum of the earth. I'm just a human being trying to get along in this thing called life. So, I created my own concept, and over 15 years, my God has changed. It was a he, then it was an it, then it was energy. Currently, it is the great unknown. And that's what's working for me. So, I was willing. I was willing. And as I said, I didn't have a clue. It wasn't that I was denying that I was codependent. I just didn't know. And, I also know that, denial for anybody that's addicted to anything is the number one symptom. It's not that bad. It'll get better. Another relationship, it'll be different. But you know what? I never changed, so it was always the same. And the good news is, it's my codependency. Now, I didn't ask to be codependent. I didn't wake up one day and say, okay, I'm going to be codependent. You know, 4 or 5 years old, I made the decision to survive. So one of the things that came up, like when my dad left, was fear and shame. That kind of permeated my whole life. And there is a, in the, I like to read the literature. In the traditionally speaking, on page 13, my unhealthiest relationship was the one with myself. And I was going to move to Australia because, you know, that's the other side of the world. But, you know, here I am. So it says, was I willing to have a healthy relationship? I didn't know if I could survive so much change. I resisted change with every fiber of my being. I needed to learn what it took to have a healthy relationship. Things like boundaries and feeling my feelings, listening without comment. You know, I thought people that listen without comment just didn't care. And the willingness to allow the other person to have a different opinion. So for me, it was a relief to sit in meetings without having to do anything, just to show up and be there. I didn't have to fix or control or disagree or anything. I just showed up. And that's how you're all loving me right now. You're just showing up. And then it says on page 17, ultimately, my higher power guides me in communicating in healthy, loving manners, in healthy, loving ways. So, you know, my feelings help me, tell me when I maybe need to set a boundary, speak up for myself, say no, you know, two letters, no. I don't have to explain to you why. You know, the world doesn't stop revolving when I say no. I'm not a terrible person. No is no. 15 years later, sometimes I still have problems with saying that word because I want to justify it. I want to explain. I want to tell you why I'm saying no, because it's not okay to say no because you might get mad or whatever. So I get to practice saying no when it's appropriate to do so. And I get to practice saying yes when it's appropriate to do so. So anyway, you know, the Code of Blue Book talks about a spiritual dilemma, which I didn't have a clue about. And Common Threads of Codependency talks about the codependency dilemma. And it says, you know, codependents have common threads of thoughts and behaviors. And to that, I add feelings and beliefs. You know, just because my mom or dad's had a belief that worked for them doesn't mean it's going to work for me. It doesn't mean they're wrong. It just, I need to know who I am, what I believe. And I'm going to say that, you know, my mind pretty much has a mind of its own. And I'll be doing fine. And all of a sudden, it'll attack me out of nowhere for no reason. You know, I can't control it. Once I'm aware of it, and that's what the steps do, is they give me spiritual awareness. Once I'm aware of it, I have a choice. And so my program is real simple. It is, you know, the program is the steps. The fellowship is the people and the meetings and the tools. But the steps are where the healing happens. And the promises, which are promises, you know, I thought they were a crock of you know what when I got here, because in my codependency, there is no room for promises. But the promises say I can expect a miraculous change. And that's exactly what's happened. And it continues to happen. So here's what's going on with my life today. I am in another program to address my eating disorder. And this year, the friend that got me into CODA or asked me that question, he died. My dog died. My dad has cancer and he's dying. Work has been, you know, I usually take a caseload of 13, 14. I've been at 18. And so then I got COVID. You know, life presents us with challenges and obstacles. It's just the way it is. And that's okay. That's okay. Because today I have recovery. I have options. You know, I've talked to a lot of people when I was doing a lot more face-to-face meetings, and I would ask them, you know, what brought you here? And you know, relationships failed or whatever. My therapist thinks I need to come here, whatever. And I said, do you have a desire for healthy and loving relationships? No one has ever said no to that question. You know, everybody can benefit from a 12-step program if they feel they have a problem. You know, that first part about being powerless and unmanaged. I tried to change my husband for 20 years. I didn't get it. He didn't change. I didn't get it. My codependency progressed to where one time I actually thought I was going to be physically violent with him, and I had to push him out the door and lock the door, because I can see how people can kill in an impulsive moment. In fact, one of the chapter 5 in the Code of Blue Book asks a lot of questions that people have about codependency and stuff. And it says in there on page 107, the child within, is acting immaturely, impulsively, and passive aggressively. I did that my whole life. I never grew up from 4 or 5. I mean, my body grew up, but emotionally I didn't. And so, today I work on spiritual progress, not perfection. I could, in step one, I could relate to the powerlessness and unmanageability when I got to CODA. It was a mess. But step two, you know, came to believe that God could restore me to sanity. I wasn't crazy. And so, you know, I've looked up a lot of words, and insanity means you do something that doesn't make sense. And so I'm able to see the insanity more often now. And once I'm aware of it, I can do something about it. So then the step three is probably the hardest step I have to work. You know, making that decision to be willing to turn my will and life over to the care of God, because I'm hardwired to control things. And control is an illusion, because I'm not only powerless over others, I'm powerless over life. I don't know if I'm going to get bombed. I don't know if all of my accounts were hacked. You know, there's nothing safe. But I feel like I'm in my higher power's hands and that I'm covered. But there's still this part of me that says, no, I want it my way. I want it now. And that is always limiting. I put my God in a box and everything. So just to share with you what's happened in the last week with me. Like I said, Thursday, I realized, you know, my dad's leaving again and it's bringing some things up. And I had the opportunity to adopt a dog. And she's supposed to weigh 12 pounds and she weighs 31 and a half. And I can't get near her. She's scared. And she's 4. Isn't that funny? She's 4. She's overweight, you know. And the first thing I do after they put her in my car is I pet her gently and I say, it's going to be okay. And that's what my God is doing with me. This dog is a godsend because I can let her be where she's at, scared, and that's what I'm doing with me. I can be scared, you know, I can be sad that my dad's dying, and I don't have to deny it, leave reality, you know, it hurts. And yet I've got tools. I've got support. I have people in my life that, love me just like you do and care about me. And I don't have to do this alone. I'm an introvert. I like being alone. My disease wants me to isolate, and being in quarantine for 10 days, man, I was ready to get back out, but I've got Zoom meetings. I've got the telephone. You know, I've got things I can do. So that brings me to step 4. I'm currently on step 4. And what I do when I do my steps is I sit down and I breathe, get in touch with my body. And then I say the serenity prayer and I get in touch with my higher power. And I say, please just show me what you need to show me. And then I start writing. And again, what's coming up right now is a lot of fear. And so be it. So, then step 5, I kind of share with my sponsors in each program ongoingly. I don't save up. The first 4 step I ever did was completely trashing myself. And we got to the question of what my assets were, and I didn't have any. So I said to the women, I said, is there anything you can think of about me that you like? And they look at me like I'm an idiot. Of course, of course. Well, I couldn't think of anything. The shame was so bad. But now I have a realistic look at my character defects or shortcomings or whatever you want to call them, which many of them are character assets that have gone to an extreme. I can look at my virtues, my assets, whatever you want to call them, humbly. You know, it just is what it is. Again, I don't live in judgment anymore. I would say 95% of the time. And I'm very, very accepting most of the time. And so it's a pretty peaceful place to live. My license plate says I live in Eden because all I wanted when I got to CODA was peace of mind. The obsession, the compulsion, the control is exhausting. And although my mind still continues to think, because that's what minds do, I have more peace in between. And the most difficult thing in my life today is to sit and do nothing, which is doing something. But literally, because you know what? That's when my mind comes alive. And so I just observe my thoughts. You know, I just observe my thoughts. I don't have that tape recorder of, you know, you could have done better. Or you got a B, you should have gotten an A, or the shoulds. I make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. I make choices that, you know, don't work out so well. And you know what? I can choose something different next time. You know, life is just kind of an opportunity to experiment and be curious. I'm finding that my fear can be replaced with curiosity. This thing with the dog is a huge God thing all over it. And I choose to believe that my God wants me to be happy. This is what I thought when I got to CODA is God is going to make me go be a missionary in Africa with no toilet and shower, which are very important to me, and do things that I don't want to do. That is not what my God wants for me. My God wants me to show up in this world practicing the principles of the program. So I did step 6 and 7, and I do those, you know, it's not up to me to remove my character defects. So for example, when I got here, I was an absolute perfectionist. And am I doing okay on time? I have no clue. Okay. So I either had to do it perfectly, whether I'd ever done it or not, or I wasn't going to do it at all. And I can't do things perfectly. And so I did a lot of nothing or procrastinating or feeling bad about myself because I should have done it, but I didn't. And so that character defect is actually a character asset of I want to do the best I can do in this moment. That's it. My best may be 50%, and that's okay. Todd that died said, I am enough, I have enough, I do enough. And I added to that, and enough is enough. So, you know, I do the best I can, and that's it. And I assume pretty much everybody else in the world is doing the best they can too. But maybe we've taken it to extremes, because that's what my codependency is. It's an extreme. It's extreme fear, extreme shame, extreme whatever you want to put in there that we've all experienced. So anyway, so on step 8, you know, I made a huge long list and my husband was first on the list, my ex-husband. And he just sat there and listened. And by the end, he said, okay, you know, the shame went away. The guilt did not, you know, I did it. I can't take it away. I can't erase it. I can't change the past. I'm powerless over that. And you know what? The future's not here. And I can plan and worry all I want about the future, but it usually doesn't happen how I think it's going to happen anyway. So in my meditation, I just feel in the here and now. Just be aware of my thoughts. Just let them go. And occasionally obsessions come, and I've got, you know, the breathing, the serenity prayer, and asking God to help me be with it. So this, the step nine, I made amends to that woman at work. I wanted to make amends to the team that I was fired from. And, the boss lady said, no, I was willing, and that's okay. But I made amends to the company by showing up in a different way, by taking care of myself and being responsible. And then step 10, you know, there's all kinds of questions I could ask myself on step 10. I made a whole long list. But really, it gets down to, at the end of the day, how do I feel about this day? Is there anything bugging me? Am I obsessing? Am I tense? Do I need to look at it? And I can't just, okay, let's look at this. I got to write it out. I got to write it out. And sometimes I got to call people. And it says prompt amends. And I think, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow I think, you know, I can wait until the weekend. And the longer I put it off, the less likely I am to do it, which means that I'm going to repeat the behavior. So, and then 11 is my favorite step. It's very, very peaceful for me to meditate. And, you know, I like quiet, but lately I am enjoying music. I've never been artistic, and I'm taking up acrylic pour painting, and I'm doing pencil coloring. This isn't who I've been. And even after 15 years, I'm changing. I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm experiencing, and I'm having peace and joy, contentment. And yeah, life is what it is this year for me and right this moment, and all is well. And then step 12 is just potent. It says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, well, I had many along the way, and I had a big boom spiritual awakening, that higher power concept, whatever it is, is going to be, that relationship is the most important. The steps tell me what order the relationship is important, and it's God first, me second, and others third. And, you know, so it says, having had a spiritual awakening, we carry this message. Okay, well, what's this message? And it is the hope of recovery or change or whatever you want to call it. But the hope of a better life, for me, a more peaceful life, more productive, more contributing, not with resentment, but just, how do I want to show up in my neighborhood, in my work, or whatever? And then it says, carry this message, basically to those who still suffer, and practice these principles. And, you know, I don't see the principles written anywhere in the Code of Blue Book. So what the heck are the principles? Do I have the ability to screen share?
Yes, you should. You're a co-host, so you should be able to do that.
I'm going to try and share something. So I looked up and Google it, 12-step principles. Can you guys see that? So step one principle is honesty. You know, I try to be honest, not with the outside world, with myself. You know, when my codependency says, you know, it doesn't matter, you can do that amends in 3 days. Well, it does. It does matter. Look at my history. You know, don't deny reality. And step two is hope, because that's where my higher power is. That's the only hope. The only thing stronger than my codependency is a higher power concept. That's it. That's the only thing strong. And like I said, faith, that's the biggest thing for me, the most difficult step, faith in a higher power. Step four is courage. I'm pretty courageous. I mean, now I am. Coda has given me that. The steps have. Step five is integrity. And all that means is, say what you mean and mean what you say. You know, if I say I'm going to meet you at 6 o'clock, well, if I can't meet you, then just communicate that. I can't meet you at 6. I'm late. There's an accident, whatever. Step six is willingness. I have never not been willing to work the steps and come to CODA meetings. Thank God. However, I heard there's a lot of people, and in my other program, willingness is a difficult one. And so I can pray to whatever power is out there for the willingness to be willing. Because I don't know about you, but I'm motivated to change by pain. Not because it's the best thing to do or I've gotten awareness. It's because I'm uncomfortable with where I'm at and I want to be more comfortable. So seven is humility. That's that I am equal to everybody else. You know, I used to think if I just knew enough, I could get rid of this disease. And it's not a matter of knowing. In fact, very intelligent people have a difficult time getting this program because this is not about knowing. This is about the heart and the spirit and getting to know that part of me. And then step eight is love or brotherly love and love for myself. That's that part about not making amends to the guy that tried to kill me. Just be willing. Step nine is discipline. I've never been a very disciplined person. Most impulsive people aren't. Today, I'm more organized, I'm more disciplined. I'm not by any means there yet. I don't think I ever will be, but you know what? It's okay. And then step 10 is perseverance and patience. And I get, you know, like I said, I wanted my codependency fixed in about 2.5 seconds. And, I think in seconds and minutes and higher power thinks in years and lifetimes. And so I get to practice patience. At the grocery store, I will always get in the shortest line that takes the longest amount of time. So I get to practice, again, breathe, serenity prayer, and ask HP how to be with this. You know, life's good. Step 11 is awareness. And then step 12 is service. And so I'm going to stop screen sharing. Yeah, there we go. And so I forgot what I was going to say next. Let me just pause here. What I heard in the beginning is keep coming back. It works if you work it. And the steps are work for me. They're work on me. When I got to step six and seven the first time, and it's like the character defects are going to be removed. I'm with these women and I don't want the character defects removed because that's who I thought I was. And if they take those away, I'm going to be more of a nobody than I already thought I was. What I found out is when the character defects are removed and some are removed, some lessen and, you know, some stick to me like glue. So what happens is my authentic self comes out. My spiritual, emotional, and physical self starts to come forth. And that is, you know, we're all taught how to take care of ourselves physically. You know, you eat, you exercise, you shower, you wash your clothes, great. Emotionally, well, yeah, in the last 50, 100 years, we've realized our emotions do need tending to. But spiritually, you know, I've tried religion, and this is not a religious program. If you're religious, I'm happy for you. It doesn't work for me, and that's okay. It's okay for you, and it's okay for me. But spiritual, how do I take care of my spirit? Well, it's the steps, and then it's the traditions, and then eventually I did service at the world level, and they have the concepts. 12 steps, 12 traditions, 12 concepts. And by the way, the 12 traditions also have principles. And I've got a list of them up here. Like the first tradition is unity. Unless we're banded together, we're going to fall apart. And so I want to go to the Coda Blue Book because this is about principles and promises. And on page 82 in the Coda Blue Book, I know the promises are going to be read, but it's just one paragraph there and I'm going to read it. Through God's abundant love, the spiritual principles of our program and our willingness to be rigorously honest in continuing our recovery to the best of our ability, we will come to know a new sense of belonging. I belong here. I welcome every one of you that is here. You know, we're all in this together. We will begin to trust and believe in ourselves and that the healing of our past is possible. We'll no longer be controlled by fear and shame. We will find we are able to respond to life's challenges with courage, integrity, and dignity. Others will no longer be our gods. We will experience a new love and acceptance of ourselves and others. My hope is that before each and every one of us dies, we can truly love ourselves the way higher power loves us, not with ego, but with love and kindness, gentleness and grace. We will become capable of developing and maintaining healthy and loving relationships, and we will learn to see ourselves as equal to others. We will learn that it's possible for our families to mend, maybe, maybe not, and become more loving and intimate. We will come to know that we are each a unique creation of a loving higher power, born with beauty, value, and worth. We're priceless. Every one of us is unique. I think of 7 billion people on the planet, and we've all got different DNA. And we will progressively experience spiritual strength and serenity in our daily lives. And then the next page is more promises. These are actually reprinted with permission from Alcoholics Anonymous. And it says, we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. And, you know, that's a beautiful place to live. I live in the promises now. I love my life. I love myself. I love others genuinely, humbly, gratefully. And life is worth living. I have not been suicidal probably since I got into CODA after 6 months or so. I've been depressed and I tend to be anxious, but that's gotten a lot better. And, you know, anybody that gets here, this is, I got to CODA when I was 26 and, you know, denial, or I didn't have a clue. And, you know, that's not me. And I had to go through 20 more years of pain and suffering. We all codependents, anybody that's addicted to anything has a tremendous capacity for pain and suffering. And, I've been given, the option to look deeply inside, which is where my higher power resides, and, change and grow and experience and hurt and let that go. When I first came to CODA, I screamed and yelled. I lived by myself. I screamed and yelled at God until I didn't have a voice because I had to get it out. And, you know, now fear's coming up. Fear's not going to kill me. You know, I can take care of the four-year-old. I can take care of me. When I've got my gas tank full, I can help others. So it's kind of like the oxygen mask in the airplane. You know, you think put it on somebody else first, but my responsibility is to me first. And I don't have minor children. And I know parents, God bless you. There is a responsibility there. But I do want to mention a couple of things. The CODA.org website. So the patterns and characteristics are what a codependent looks like. But if you go to the CODA.org website and you type in search recovery patterns, now they have a list of this is what a codependent relationship or characteristic looks like. This is what a healthy and loving relationship looks like. And I've moved on a lot of things over. And, you know, I can speak up for myself, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not. People's opinions, not that they don't matter, because I can consider them, but I don't have to have you agree with me or like me or feel good about me. I do that about me through higher power and that relationship. So the other thing I wanted to say is, you know, a lot of other programs talk about relapse, and I've been asked, you know, what is relapse in CODA? And I don't think there is anything. I hear people all the time say, oh my God, I better go back to step one. I just feel like I've wasted all my time. And that's the disease, or whatever you want to call it, trying to make us think that we don't have recovery when we do. We do have recovery. I have healthy, loving relationships today. I'm not in a romantic relationship. I don't feel I need one. I'm not ruling it out, but you know, I'm not searching. I am comfortable with who I am, the way my life is, and how I show up in this world. And that's what I hope everybody who comes to programs like this finds. So let me just see if there's anything else I want to say. Oh, so I'll just end with this. So now my recovery is this, because I'm a visual person. I picture myself in a rowboat, and I don't get on the water because things in the water freak me out. But I'm in a rowboat, and you know when you're rowing, you can't see where you're going. I've never figured that one out either. But if I just use the right oar, which is the 12 steps, I kind of go in a circle because they say, you know, work the steps with somebody. And if I just use the left oar, which is the fellowship, the tools, you know, that I go in a circle. So I have to use them both. And God's sitting in the boat and he's looking at where I'm going, which is my future. And I don't know where I'm going. And that's the faith part. What I've experienced in CODA is that God's plan, God's will, or whatever the heck you want to call it, is pretty much always going to be better than self-will, because self-will is very limiting. I've done more in 15 years in CODA than I did in my whole lifetime up to that. And I've had more peace, more serenity, more usefulness, more kindness. And so the this is what I was when I got here. Hopeless, depressed, a victim, a martyr. I felt sorry for myself. My ego was beyond big. I was a perfectionist. I lived in right and wrong. I was judgmental. I was into controlling so I wouldn't fear. I was all about me, me first. I was reactive, impulsive, resentful, full of shame, a people pleaser. I had no friends. I was unreliable, isolated, in denial. I was completely in bondage and at death's door. And this is where I am today. I'm hopeful. I'm joyful. I am responsible and accountable to the best of my ability. I make choices. I can change my choice or try something different. I'm spiritual. I'm human. Rather than right and wrong, it's just different. I'm accepting. I get to practice faith and courage. We are all in this together with unity and service. I'm thoughtful. I'm peaceful. I'm authentic, honest. I have healthy, loving relationships. I have integrity. I feel a belonging. I have awareness and spiritual awakenings. I have freedom and I have life. And I wish you all the blessings that I have been given, and peace and a higher power of your own understanding. Thank you.
Still have another 20 minutes. Maybe people can share or reflect. Please feel free to raise your hands. Thank you, Sherry. That was, I did so much notes. Lynn?
Hi, thank you, Lynn Codependent. Sherry, thank you so much for sharing your story. I resonated with a lot of what you said. And so grateful to be here, to get to hear this. It was such, it was very powerful. Thank you so much.
Hi, Sherry. First of all, there were so many things which I related to. But at the point you said that in your steps, and steps 6 and 7, there was this character defect of procrastination and, you know, thinking a lot and doing nothing, which is a big one for me. And it took me 1 year just on that character defect. But then you also said that it is your character asset that you want to do best. Can you expand on that a bit more? Because I never looked at it that way.
Yes. You know, I've always wanted to do the best I can. And yet I've realized even lately, some things I'm not a see the whole picture kind of person. I'm rather detail oriented. And I actually have done some coaching with somebody that has helped me. My perfectionism says you've got to do the whole thing now. And you know, in life, very few things can be done the whole thing now. So what I was taught is, and so it's so overwhelming that I don't do it. What I was taught is chunk it down. And okay, so here's an example. I had to mail 60 pieces of art to 60 people. Well, I got the 60 pieces of art, then I got the 60 envelopes, then I got all of their addresses, then I got the letter put in the envelope, then the art put in the envelope. Well, it took me several days. And so I said, okay, I'm going to chunk it down. And today I'm going to do an hour where I get the list of names and addresses, and I'm going to put them on the envelopes. And that's all I did. So procrastination is partly because it's so overwhelming that I can't even begin to know where to start and where it's going to end. So, and again, I don't even have to do it well. When I die, I'm not going to do life perfectly. And there's things in life that need to be chunked down. When my mom died, we had all of her house to sell and her belongings and her accounts and a year. It took a year, and I'm trying to grieve, and it's like, okay, if life would just stop, well, I grieve, but that doesn't happen. It just keeps going on. And then something like COVID and war and, and this is why in CODA, we only talk about CODA and relationships, because that's where the healing comes. But life, life goes on. So. Yeah, it's just, I've got to be kind to myself and do the doable and not try to take it all on. And I asked for help too, which it's always nicer to do it with somebody than to feel like you've got the whole world on your shoulders. So thank you.
Anyone else speak more? Speak or ask something? Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Justin, codependent. Amazing share. I resonated with a lot with your story. When I joined CODA 8 months ago, I was at my rock bottom. Just got out of a relationship, 5-year relationship. And suicidal, debt, no friends, yet cannot stand being alone. And addiction issues. And it's only been 8 months and no longer suicidal at all. I have money in the bank. I have one friend. I had to get rid of some friends in the first couple of months of CODA. There were some toxic relationships. I hope to have more friends, but right now I just have one, which is a good start. And I haven't even started the steps yet. I just joined a Power of Five, or I'm sort of on the waiting list. So I'm excited to start working the steps, because from your story and so many others, the steps is where the meat is with this program. I guess we're doing questions too. So a question I have for you is, you talked about gambling and I think other addictions, not sure, but how much has your addiction improved at this point after being in CODA for so many years?
So in 2004, I went to work under the influence, and my husband and psychiatrist did an intervention, and I went into treatment and stopped all drugs, alcohol, and gambling. And then I went into another program, and I didn't work the steps, and I stayed angry, and things kept getting worse. You know, I'm not drinking now or smoking or anything. And by the way, they say no major changes for a year. And I quit my job and got a new one. And I quit smoking and quit drinking and quit doing drugs and quit gambling. And we moved and bought a house. You know, I sometimes don't listen very well or want to do it my way, and it hurts. And I'll be honest with you, my two oldest addictions are the codependency and the eating, and I ate my way through the CODA steps. I gained weight in recovery. But it is suggested that, you know, you stop all mood-altering substances. And, of course, you know, there's sex addiction and shopping addiction. And let me tell you, YouTube's not addicted, but I got addicted to it. So it's not medium. I mean, I hear people with social media and internet addictions and all this. I can get addicted to anything because it's a distraction. It makes me unconscious. It makes me not aware. So as long as I'm practicing awareness, I'm okay. But it's very difficult to work the steps when you're mood altered. And at the same time, I also want to say that a lot of people in 12-step recovery programs have mental issues that need addressed. The step, yes, I'm no longer depressed. The steps, at least my experience, is they don't treat mental illness. Now, my depression was from lifestyle, but they don't treat mental illness, and I think people, you know, need to seek help in those areas if they are, you know, being led to or something like that. But it's, you know, the eating disorder is my last addiction, and it's a bitch. So, but yeah, I can get addicted to anything. Thank you.
Hey, Sherry, I just want to voice a question that's in the chat asking, could you elaborate a little on how to get honest? I seem to have a problem with that. That was a question in the chat.
Getting honest?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's, you know, my disease says it'll be different next time. When my past 60 years says, no, it's not. You know, when the 20 years I spent changing my husband didn't change a thing, except my codependency progressed. And so, for me, always, always, I ask higher power for help. And there's three things that are not principles, acceptance, forgiveness, and surrender, which I hear a lot about. Those are processes for me. It's not an event that I just work through. It's a process. And, so I, again, when I do my steps, I get quiet, I breathe, I say the serenity prayer, and then I ask God to reveal to me, because my disease keeps me dishonest, to reveal to me what he wants me to know at this time. And, you know, this things come up and then they go away and then they come up again. So, yeah. And pain helps us, helped me get honest.
I'm going to double dip. I hope that's actually Georgina has her hand raised.
Hi, Shari. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for your share, and it's been wonderful to listen and really helpful. I had a question, which is I'm aware that I need to do work in CODA, and I'm also aware I have work holism issues, and I'm an ACA, and I'd like to do inner child work. And it feels overwhelming at the moment because it's been revealed to me through step work in my primary addiction, which has been food, that obsession, and I have sobriety from all mind altering substances. But what's been revealed to me now is this, the issues actually within that come under the umbrella of CODA. It feels so overwhelming, and it feels like I need help from a number of fellowships. I just wondered, what your guidance might be from this point in order to find, a way to further recovery, given that there are these sort of compound issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. So, for me, it's about accessing the help that will treat what I need. And, again, I don't know if you've all heard this, but keep it simple. Keep it simple, because the disease will complicate and complicate and complicate. And so, I've been in therapy since I was 21, and I've been on medication for depression many, many years. And for my eating disorder, I seek the help of a dietitian. And if you don't know where to start, start with higher power if you have a concept. Start with talking about it in the program, either at a meeting or if you have a sponsor, hallelujah. And if you don't, you know, the newcomer handbook in CODA talks about co-sponsoring. But get the help, like, you know, you don't go to the plumber for a garbage issue, or go to the laundromat for a garbage issue. So therapists, doctors, friends, hopefully, or, you know, I never suggest family. I mean, I don't. Somebody that you can ask for support. They even have suicide hotlines that have social workers and therapists. And even if you're not suicidal, you can try that. There are, like in Arizona, they have Charos and Community Bridges for mental health, and but keep it simple. And you know, first things first. But I didn't have a clue. So when I got to CODA, all I knew was the steps and meetings. That was it. Steps and meetings. So, and I know ACA with inner child work can be trying. So just make sure you have support around you, healthy support. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
We are running out of time, so Carol, again, please do a quick one,
Mahima, did you say we're out of time?
We are running out of time, yes. So, Carolyn, can you please share a quick question, and we would be moving ahead to the next session.
You're coming in very
broken,
choppy. Okay, yeah. Okay. But I think what she said, Carol, is if you want to go ahead and share.
Quickly. I just want to ask, you talked about getting honest involves acceptance, forgiveness, and what was the third word?
Surrender.
Surrender. You can tell what I need. Thank you.
Thank you. Is it my voice better now? I can't hear you.
It's
okay. Let's move ahead. Sorry. Would someone please read the promises?
I can read it. 12 Promises of Codependence Anonymous. I can expect a miraculous change in my life by working the program of 12 of Codependence Anonymous. As I make an honest effort to work the 12 steps and follow the 12 traditions. Number one, I know a new sense of belonging. The feeling of emptiness and loneliness will disappear. Number two, I am no longer controlled by my fears. I overcome my fears and act with courage, integrity, and dignity. Number three, I know a new freedom. Number four, I release myself from worry, guilt, and regret about my past and present. I am aware enough not to repeat it. Number five, I know a new love and acceptance of myself and others. I feel genuinely lovable, loving, and loved. Number six, I learn to see myself as equal to others. My new and renewed relationships are all with equal partners. Number seven, I am capable of developing and maintaining healthy and loving relationships. The need to control and manipulate others will disappear as I learn to trust those who are trustworthy. Number eight, I learn that it is possible to mend, to become more loving, intimate, and supportive. I have the choice of communicating with my family in a way which is safe for me and respectful of them. Number nine, I acknowledge that I am a unique and precious creation. Number 10, I no longer need to rely solely on others to provide my sense of worth. Number 11, I trust the guidance I receive from my higher power and come to believe in my own capabilities. Number 12, I gradually experience serenity, strength, and spiritual growth in my daily life.
Thank you, Justin. Sherry has kindly shared her email ID, so if someone has any questions which you missed out on, please continue to chat with her. We will now close with Koda closing prayer, followed by the long version of Serenity prayer. Please remain on mute and follow along if you would like. We thank our higher power for all that we have received from the meeting. As we close, may we take with us the wisdom, love, acceptance, and hope of recovery. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Grant me patience with the changes that take time, appreciation of all that I have, tolerance of those with different struggles, and strength to get up and try again, one day at a time. Okay, it's time for our next session, and I will continue.